AG and colleagues, I would love to indicate that the chairperson is still trying to connect, so we are busy with that. Otherwise, you can join the meeting anytime. Thank you.
Good morning, Baba. Thank you for the update. Good morning, all. Good morning, AG.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning, Chair.
Good morning, my apologies. You see, I've been trying to get my connections, but seemingly there's currently a problem with my own connectivity because of the load shedding problems. My apologies.
Recording in progress.
Let me just check our current attendance. Majority of the members are in attendance. I see the AG is present. Nedim Angoma. Premier Chauke. So I think we're safe to go. And that is the case. Let me just try to show life on my side. Come on again. I'm using the iPad. That's it. Good morning, colleagues, the AG and her team, everybody who's in attendance. We are to have our committee meeting, which mainly has to consider the Auditor General's report or brief on the MI progress in relation with the PFMA 2022-23. I hope that the colleagues you have looked into the report, which has been forwarded to us over a period. And that report carries a number of slides, which go to about 13 pieces of slides, and the extent of growth of that piece of work by the Office of the Auditor General, which is indicative of the growth of the implementation of the Public Audit Act. As we remember, that a month or so, we got a brief on the FMMA, MFMA MI report, which basically confirms where the standing is in terms of accountability and areas that relate to C consequence management. So this morning, we are going to have a story around that, and therefore the AG team is indeed at work to solidify some impactful life on ensuring that those who are at the top remain accountable in various instances. So we are more than welcome, colleagues, each and your team, our officials, the media, to comfortably be part of the meeting this morning. Mr. Dumezweni, have there been any apologies?
Again, good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members, the AG and the colleagues. Yes, Chair, we have received an apology from Honourable Singh, who has just indicated that he's unable to attend the meeting. Another thing is the issue of Honourable Hussein. We got the information that he has resigned as a member, and that was 80 seat a day before yesterday on the 6th. So he won't be part of this meeting due to that. So those are the two apologies that I have, Chair.
Well, thank you very much for that information. And we remain to take note of such. And therefore, I think we are ready as a team to continue. See that at least we meet the requirement for correcting meeting. So I have to go to the Auditor General. Good morning, AG.
Good morning, Honourable Chair. Good morning to the Honourable Members as well. I am here.
I see. You are alive. So you're free to have your presentation. More than welcome.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, and warm greetings to yourself and the Honourable Members of SCOAG, my colleagues from the office and other officials that are present, a warm greeting. Honourable Chair, I want to thank you for affording us the opportunity to brief SCOAG on how my office has implemented the MI instrument in the most recent PFMA cycle. I don't intend to dwell too long on the report, for it is really just about ensuring that we do report back to yourselves on how we have made good on applying these powers as we had promised to do. This report really covers the MI implementation for the PFMA cycle from the beginning of the amendment period, so from the 1st of April 2019, to where we are now, having completed the audits for PFMA 2023. Much of what I will say will sound somewhat familiar for two reasons. One is that it is a similar report back to the MFMA one that we gave not so long ago, as you indicated, Honourable Chair. But two, some of the key highlights we would have shared with you when we tabled the general report for the audits for the year ended March 2023. This is really a standalone report back on how we've applied the additional powers given to the office for this particular cycle. We aim to intensify engagements on this report with oversight in the different provincial legislatures and the different portfolio committees within Parliament, when those programs will be able to accommodate such engagements. So my aim today is not to go through too much detail, but just to give you a high-level sense of how we've applied the powers. As you know, in our mission and vision, we set out exactly what we are tasked to do as per the constitutional mandate, and these new powers really we locate still in the context of our mission, which is really about enabling oversight, accountability, and governance, and to do so by auditing and reporting, as well as applying our powers in a way that does improve the performance governance of public institutions and ultimately build public confidence. The powers, as you know, do not have us take over the role of the accounting officers or the accounting authorities. They're really a complementary mechanism for us to support improvements in effecting consequence management and follow up on the work of the auditors from the Office of the AG, and to support accounting officers and accounting authorities in the main to identify those areas that require their urgent action if they are to avoid further financial loss, if they are to optimize resource protection, and if they are to drive the type of control improvements that are required so that there isn't a report of similar problems in the future. And as you know, these powers are stated in terms of how we implement them in the regulations that have been gazetted. And those regulations have the process of us notifying accounting officers, giving them the opportunity to indicate how they're going to respond to the matter. We then are able to assess the adequacy and appropriateness of their proposed action, still give them the opportunity to act. And it is only when they do not act as required in law, in accordance with their own given responsibilities, that we will then implement our powers, which are to give recommendations, which are to refer matters for investigation, as well as take binding remedial action as and when the need arises. It's only once all of that has failed that we will then issue a certificate of debt in the name of the accounting officer that has continued to neglect his or her duties. We've located this report and all of our work really in this accountability ecosystem, which is no doubt quite familiar to all of the honorable members, which really just highlights that we do rely on each and every one of the different role players in the accountability ecosystem to do their part, to act in accordance with their given responsibilities, so that ultimately we can have an improvement in the levels of performance, accountability, transparency, swift and effective consequence management throughout the public sector. This report really, as I said, indicates what we've done with these powers, having had them for the period up until the end of the 2023 audit period. The MI definition is well known to the honourable members. It relates to a non-compliance with or contravention of legislation, fraud or theft, or breach of fiduciary duty that's been identified during an audit that has resulted in or is likely to result in financial loss, loss of a material public resource, loss of significant resources, result in substantial harm or harm to a public institution or to the general public. We have embraced this full definition and are now implementing it as was intended, and I'll give a sense of how that looks now. However, the objective still remains, as we said before, which is really to improve our ability to protect resources, to enhance public sector performance, to encourage an ethical culture, and to ultimately ensure that there is accountability and public institutions are strengthened to better serve the people of South Africa. Once we've notified an accounting officer of an MI, as I said, we do give them the opportunity to act. It's only when they don't act that we will invoke our powers, as I have defined when I spoke to the last slide. Just by way of update in terms of how we've gone about implementing these powers, we've been incrementally increasing the number of auditees that are subject to this process. Back in the 2018-19 audits, we started with only 16 PFMA audits and 9 MFMA audits, totaling 25. And we've rapidly ramped up the number of auditees that are subject to this process to a point where for the 2023 financial years, there were 431 PFMA auditees that were subject to this level of scrutiny beyond the audit as was originally defined, and a total of 276 MFMA auditees that were subject to this process. The report I'm tabling today, or I'm sharing with yourselves today, deals with the MI process that has been implemented at the 431 PFMA auditees. And as you also know, we've gradually used the definition as was initially given. When we started back in 2019, we only looked at the narrow aspects of the definition. For example, we looked only at non-compliance that was causing financial loss. And so we broadened all of that to give full expression to the definition as we were implementing through the years. So the machinery of the AGSA has now got to a point where we are perfecting implementing this definition as was originally intended. And I think it's been a pretty swift take on of these new powers. Over the 5 years that we've been implementing, you'll see that we've been able to give full expression to the intention as was given at the time. In terms of the AMIs that we identified for PFMA, so far since we began back in 2018-19 with those 16 auditees, we've identified a total of 266 material irregularities. Out of those, 240 relates to instances where we could estimate a financial loss, a material financial loss. And the total estimation of those losses is at 14.3 billion rand. That's now an accumulation over the period. And that's also purely on the audit, or the samples that we would have selected for audit purposes and on the MIs that we would have identified. We've identified MIs and raised them relating to misuse of a material public resource in 9 instances. In 3 instances, we've highlighted MIs where we believed are resulting in causing substantial harm to the general public. We've also highlighted 14 MIs where, in our assessment, were resulting in substantial harm to public sector institutions. The MIs are only fully resolved by accounting officers and accounting authorities if they have taken all possible steps to recover financial losses, to remove or address the harm that's been caused, to effect consequence management through disciplinary action on their own staff, but also dealing with the third parties that are involved, working with law enforcement as and when the need arises, and also where they have improved internal controls so that they prevent further losses and they prevent further harm. I'm pleased to say that of the 266 MIs, 79 have been resolved in that the accounting officers and accounting authorities have done that which they were supposed to do in dealing with the MIs. While it's pleasing to see this level of responsiveness, our concern is that, firstly, in these MIs that we raise, in at least 82% of the instances, no action was being taken on the matters that we were raising. So, but for the AG raising these MIs, accounting officers and accounting authorities were either unaware that there were these problems, or worse, were simply not attending to them until we raised the MI. So we would want to highlight the message we've been given for a long time now, which is that it is absolutely crucial that the level of responsiveness that we're seeing from accounting officers and accounting authorities when they are resolving MIs, that level of responsiveness translates to normal audit findings, be they from the AGSA or from internal audit. It is absolutely essential that there be attention to designing proper internal controls, to testing their effectiveness and adequacy on a regular basis, and to ensuring that there is responsiveness when things go wrong. It is going to always be much better to prevent problems and to even detect them quickly, rather than to wait for the AG to raise these matters and then respond. 75 of these MIs are currently classified as appropriate action being taken by accounting officers and accounting authorities. That means that in the assessment of the team at AGSA, accounting officers are taking the action that they should. In 32 instances, we assessed that there was inappropriate or inadequate action being taken, and that then propelled us to implement the powers as given to us. In 23 of those instances, we've included recommendations, which are stronger than the recommendations we normally would issue in the audit process. So these ones are much stronger recommendations, much more direct in terms of how the AMI must be dealt with. We've referred matters to investigations bodies in 8 instances, and we've also had a combination of referrals and recommendations in some of the instances as well. Some of the MIs are still being assessed in terms of where the accounting officer has been notified and they've responded. And then the AGSA team is still looking into the adequacy and appropriateness of the proposed action. And other accounting officers were more recently notified of the MI processes. I'd like to just highlight one thing around the matter of resolution or appropriate action being taken, and which is just really to repeat the point that the remedy to building public institutions has to be about accounting officers and accounting authorities being disciplined and deliberate about implementing the appropriate levels of controls to prevent problems, to detect them, and to act on them much more swiftly than having to wait for the MI processes to commence. Just to give you some sense of the type of MIs that we've identified, you'll see on this slide that the majority of MIs relate to the area of procurement and payment, where in at least 112 instances, we've seen that there is payment for goods and services that are not being received or that are in poor quality and yet payment is made, or that are not in line with the specified contracts and yet payments are being made, in that public resources are being spent essentially inefficiently. We've also seen that procurement processes are flouted, and we then end up with overpricing for goods and services that are being procured, and we end up with the inappropriate suppliers being selected who then don't deliver. This is consistent with the message that we often give when we deal with normal audit reports, not just the MI process, which says that the disciplines of ensuring that procurement and payment cycles are dealt with in a way that's consistent with the prevailing laws on procurement, the regulations of procurement, the policies of particular institutions of procurement, those controls need particular attention, and there needs to be the controls and the culture of ensuring that there is ongoing compliance with what has been set out as the intended laws, regulations, and policies. When they are flouted, there are negative consequences. The next lot of MIs relates to inefficient use of resources or assets that are simply not being safeguarded. We've also raised MIs in the area of revenue management, where revenues are not being billed, debts are not being recovered, or revenue that has been received or not recorded or deposited. Again, areas that are relatively easy to deal with if there are adequate controls, discipline, monitoring, and oversight. We're also still tracking a number of MIs on interest and penalties. You recall that this relates to where cash flow management is so poor that creditors are not being paid on time, and there are interest and penalty charges that are then paid by the auditees in a way that could have been avoided had there been better control. When we look at projects, honorable members, as Team AGSA, we're seeing that managing the contracts between the contractor and the audit team, that discipline is so weak that there tends to be significant penalties paid to contractors because a construction project has had to stop midway, and then there are costs incurred. Again, that's a discipline issue, which is really about managing the project in a way that's consistent with the contract, with the given contract. Sometimes even standing fees are paid when they're actually not due to the contractor, And there we do raise MIs because that should have been avoided if there were better controls. When we've also audited, you'll know that we've gone to look at different infrastructure projects. We've looked at different sites, and we were able to raise concerns around poor maintenance of infrastructure and highlighting where that's causing harm to the public. So those are the type of MIs we've been able to generate when we go beyond the paper trail and actually go on site and look at different assets. We raise MIs and not just provide insight on what goes wrong on these projects, but also we do use our enforcement powers to drive the appropriate responses. Some of the public sector institutions either don't submit their financials for audit, or they don't maintain their records as they should. And those are the ones where they end up with audits that we categorize as outstanding, or those that are late, or those that are then given disclaimer audit opinions because of poor record management. Managing records is a key responsibility for accounting officers. And when they fail to do that, it results in poor audit outcomes, but also it causes harm to the institution because it's not characterized by accountability and transparency, and often resources are being lost. So we've used our powers to raise MIs where there hasn't been submission of financial statements or where there's been poor records management. These MIs in both the MFMA and PFMA cycles are assisting in driving a change in behavior. We're seeing that more and more the submissions are improving. It remains our hope that we will over time do away with the culture of tolerating public institutions that simply don't submit financials for audit. We've also raised some MIs on instances where in our assessment, public resources were not being used in the way that was intended. You may recall that when we tabled the PFMA report, I referred to an MI in one of the provinces where there had been investment in a neonatal ICU ward and it wasn't being used, and yet the investment had been made 6 years before then. So we raised an MI and we said, this resource that's been invested in is not being utilized in a way that can deliver value to the public as was intended. Given that MI, there's not been responsiveness, and there were actions taken by the accounting officer, and the ward was stopped. And finally, 6 years later, it is being used as intended. This type of analysis, I'm hoping, gives you a sense of how we've used the entire definition of MIs, so that we're not just looking at financial loss, as important as that is, but we've used it to drive a culture shift, to drive different choices by the people that are running public institutions that will ultimately get us to a point where there is better transparency, accountability, institutional integrity, and performance by public institutions. The process itself, given all of these MIs, I think it's important to give you a sense that the process is indeed delivering value, not just in terms of the change of behavior where assets are not being used or financials are being submitted, but also in terms of the recovery of financial losses. We've now calculated that 1.29 billion rand of financial losses have been recovered, with half a billion rand being in the process of being prevented as financial losses, and 700 million rand being in the process of being recovered. So if you add that all up, you're really looking at 2.5 billion rand of resources that have been protected because of the work of the AGSA in implementing the MI instrument. You may recall from a previous slide that I indicated that 14.3 billion rand was being lost as the estimated financial loss that we would have identified. There's a big gap between 14.3 billion rand of estimated loss and 2.5 billion rand of resources being protected. As important as the protection of 2.5 billion rand is, because that money then goes back into service delivery. The trick to driving better performance and better use of public resources is to invest in improving preventative controls. We really ought not to rely solely on this instrument. The resolution that we're seeing in getting to the 2.5 billion rand demonstrates that the matters that we are raising as Team AGSA through the MI processes are really within the ambit of accounting officers and accounting authorities to deal with. What we need to ensure is that there's better proactiveness, better responsiveness, swift, timely action to strengthen controls, to monitor what's happening and to act. The status of our MIs does reflect that accounting officers can respond. We just need to make sure that they do so much more quickly and much more predictably. We've got some examples of the type of MIs on the right-hand side of the slide, but I think in essence, it gives you a sense of the type of matters that we've been working with that covers different sectors in health, water and sanitation, in education, in infrastructure. It really covers the full ambit of the PFMA cycle of departments and entities throughout every province and throughout the national government. I'll now move to the next slide, which highlights the type of recommendations we've issued in audit reports as a response when accounting officers did not take the action that was required. And we've highlighted here the departments and entities where we've had to give recommendations. And remember, recommendations are part of our powers to act on when accounting officers fail to respond. So in those audits, we've had instances where there was inadequate or inappropriate action by accounting officers, and then we've had to give recommendations. And the type of recommendations we give are really crafted to get accounting officers to do that which they should have been doing anyway. It's just that now we give closer timeframes in terms of when they need to be doing them. For example, as we stated on the slide, in the Department of Defense, where we'd identified an MI that was not being adequately acted upon, we then gave a recommendation with a date on when the MI had to be resolved, with medical equipment that was not being used to now be actually put into use. If by the date given there, which is the end of March 2024, the department has not acted on this MI, we will then move on to either a referral or to taking binding remedial action, which is reviewable only in a court of law. We've always highlighted that it need not get to that point, because by the time we even get to a recommendation, there's been ample opportunity for the accounting officer and the executive authority and oversight in Parliament to be acquainted with the matter and to take the necessary action in line with their own given powers and authority. The type of remedial powers or remedial action that we would have taken, just to give you a sense, we did that in the Free State Development Corporation, where in our assessment there was inadequate action following an MI, following a recommendation, and now we've now taken remedial action and we've referred the matter to the Hawks for investigation. And here, it's an MI that we'd issued a number of years ago, and we kept giving adequate opportunity for those charged with managing that institution to act, and unfortunately, they failed to act. We're now facing a very real prospect that the money that should have been recovered, we had estimated a loss of over 100 million rand. We're facing the real probability that we might not get that money back, because the contractor that or the service provider that had been billing and collecting on behalf of the institution and then failed to pay over that money, that entity has been placed under voluntary liquidation. So we may not get the full amount back. We have also simultaneously referred the matter to the Hawks for investigation. If this accounting authority had acted when we first issued the MI, there may have been a higher likelihood of recovering the funds. However, where we are now with the time that has lapsed, the probability of getting that money is quite slim. However, I want to give the honourable members of SCOAG the insight on the type of matters that do result in us taking remedial action and referring matters for investigation. Other matters relate to the departments and entities listed on this particular slide, where in our assessment, there was inadequate action following our initial notification, and then we gave a recommendation. And then when that was not being heeded, we've referred these matters to public bodies for further investigation. The example that we've given there relates to the South African Post Office. Again, significant amount of money being lost because of problems with the integrated grants payment system, which had not been properly implemented and secured. And that resulted in leakage through fraudulent transactions. We've referred the matter to the Hawks for investigation, and we are fortunately getting some feedback on a relatively regular basis from the Hawks on how they are proceeding with that investigation. The others have been referred to different investigations bodies, depending on the nature of the issue. And we continue to seek and receive feedback from the bodies that are looking at these matters. The reason we're sharing this report, Honourable Chair, is once again to account to SCOAG on how we've utilised these powers, to give some transparency on what it is we're seeing and how we are dealing with them, but also to encourage the Honourable Members of SCOAG to keep working with us in terms of showcasing the positive impact of how we've implemented these expanded powers, and to also encourage the parliamentary committees to act on the MIs in their own ambit, to get accounting officers and accounting authorities and executive authorities to be seized with acting on these MIs much more swiftly. And to also advocate to parliamentary committees for support in dealing with any unreasonable delays, either by accounting officers on the one hand, but also on our partners in the accountability ecosystem. In terms of other role players, we also share this report because it's important that we keep highlighting key messages for accounting officers and authorities to establish an ethical culture which will foster accountability. They've got to ensure that they act swiftly when there are problems and implement decisive and effective consequence management so that ultimately we can have public institutions that are more characterized by compliance and good performance rather than impunity. We also want to keep highlighting these messages because there's a call to action to executive authorities and all leadership that's charged with the role of acting as stewards over public resources, to work together to ensure that we do push back on the levels of non-compliance and irregularities that has characterized far too many public institutions, to advocate for those that are doing good to do that even more consistently, and to ensure that we do build stronger public institutions over time. And we also share this report because it does give us an opportunity to highlight to oversight committees on how they can work with us as well as with other role players in the accountability ecosystem to strengthen processes, not just for individual investigations, but importantly, for how we prevent MIs in the very first instance. It's only if we build these controls, we build these disciplines, and we, all of us in the accountability ecosystem, act within our given mandates and powers and responsibilities. It's only if we do that, that we will get to a point where we do have a much better culture in public sector, one that's characterized by performance, accountability, transparency, and institutional integrity. And that is what we're going to have to keep advocating for as Team AGSA. And I have no doubt that the Honourable members of SCOAG will embrace the opportunity to continue to work with us in this regard. Thank you once again, Chair, for the opportunity to share this report. And as I indicated, I did not aim to take too long. I hope I've covered all the key areas while still being brief. I'm going to hand back to you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you very much, AG. I hope colleagues who have taken note of how the Office of the Auditor General has travelled through the actual implementation in totality of the reviewed Public Audit Act, which has been our duty right through our term to assess such, to advance the advocacy for such good outcomes, and to instill a culture which has been coupled with a culture change as to how the public is keep into their line the accountability factor. The AGSA has crafted a way which has been modeled around the accountability ecosystem, which has enabled collaborative effort from various entities together with their stakeholders to create a sense of a thumb press on areas which matter towards keeping the public sector accountable. The necessity to do so has been crafted around matters of our constitution, which has defined the AGSA office within the frame of a Chapter 9 institution, which sought to see the protection of its own independence and guarantee should not only be crafted on paper. It should be seen through. Africa, protect that frame, to advance that frame, and to guarantee the life of that office within that frame. So now we are realizing one of the key elements of that frame, that you don't only discover and expose those areas, weakness in controls, but you instill a culture of remaining accountable for what you do and for what you do not do. And that accountability takes course of the best what we have seen in the South African public administration and matters of financial controls. There's been best models within that frame, and the AG is indicating to us that so far, through what they have commissioned throughout the audit, you're looking to extend it, a way of looking into the MRIs, there is room for improvement. And for them is to instill that culture. While they've looked into more than 400 auditees and accounting for just about more than 200 MIs, where there's been a potential loss in terms of financials, and looking into, in essence, how to protect those areas which are of a public good. For us, that success factor is mainly covered within the frame of having looked into the report which has come to us accounting for local government, and now that loop is being completed by ensuring an account which is advancing in totality how both province and national government fit into that loop. In appreciation of that work, I'm sure colleagues, you would engage through the report, and in appreciation of the progress, you would, in your reflection, be able to say, here we are, this is where we've arrived, and in the advancement of such accountable practice, that the Office of the AG has walked that mile in an effective way, which would want to guarantee that protection over time in ensuring their own independence, working together with other parties. So I give over to you, colleagues, if you want to contribute. I see no hands so far. Those who would want to contribute are free to raise their hand. There's one hand, which I see. Bear with me. Let me check. Honorable Member Mulenza, whether he's still active here. Honorable Mulenza, are you still there?
Yes, Chair. Yes, Chair. Yes, Chair. Yes, but I've dropped you. I've dropped you a message in the sidelines. But I'm here.
Okay. I had to make this exception because I know we might lose you. To your connection, bit of a disadvantage, and then so I had to make this. So if you indeed you want to make any contribution, I would prefer you to be the first, so that if we lose you, you would have contributed. But I see that the current hands, Honorable Matafa and Honorable Matuba, those are the two hands that we have. Except if Honorable Mulenza, you want to make your own contribution, you are free to do so. At first, if not, then I will give over to Honorable Mataf.
No, pass me, Chair.
Okay, fine. Thank you. Honorable Matafa?
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, Chairperson. Once again, good morning, AG and your team, honorable members and the public. Chair, like Honorable Mulenzana, I'm not rising to make too much of a contribution, save to say I'm rising to appreciate the presentation. In your response, Chair, you've covered pretty much what one made, a very clear, concise, and very useful presentation. One would be impressed, Chair, that whilst the AG reports on the extent of implementation of the process, they are able to quantify the in rand value. The 1.8 billion that has been recovered and the savings as a result of these processes are commendable. Yeah, the 1.29 billion that was recovered and the 0.56 billion loss prevented are some of the things that we should put on the head of the AGS feathers to say that indeed the process is working and they are able to achieve what you were saying, Chair, and terming it a public good. Because for us, this money that is saved is money that would have been lost from the fiscus, but there is money that can still be used in providing the basic services as required by our residents. So, Chair, I don't have much, but just to welcome the presentation and appreciate the work that is being done. And as these items are identified as the committee, we are able also to include probably in our legacy report as the administration draws to an end, to say that these are the areas that the AG has flagged. And in our clusters, we are able then to say, can we then look deeper into this particular department, into this particular programs, as well as in this particular spending patterns? So I think the work that the AG is doing is not only good and relevant for this committee, but in the broader work of the legislature at the National Assembly, it will definitely assist us going forward. Thank you, Team AG. Thank you, AG. And thanks, Chair, for the opportunity to engage such a brilliant presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Matafa, indeed. Honorable Machuba.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning to yourself, Chair, members of the Portfolio Committee, AG, and AG's team. Chair, let me also welcome the report as presented by the AG. And listening or getting info from the presentation of the from the AG, it clearly shows that there is progress that has been made, and also there are challenges. One would say that this report is empowering us indeed, and also you have indicated that in your responses to the report. However, Chair, I would like to draw to the attention of this meeting on slide number 6, where it talks about material irregularities. Chair, I think it should be a concern to us as members of parliament, and also it should be a concern to the public servant on the material financial losses, which was estimated at 14.34 billion. That is a lot to a country like ours. And one is also thinking aloud that this was through a sample, but if it could have been the 100% of what needs to be audited, this could be more than that. It should be a worrying factor to all of us and those who are handling the public resources. It should be a serious concern. And going forward, I would think that, Chair, one can say that we are on the right track. However, we need to increase of what we are doing to further prevent what we see as a problem, as a challenge to the state. And it's quite clear. The report is quite clear on the steps that should be taken. And going forward, one would have an interest to ask the AG whether is these continuing even in areas where they have highlighted these irregularities since 2019, or the process now. It has helped us to reduce, especially in those institutions that had the challenge of the material irregularities since 2019, or there is improvement. I know that in others there can be improvement, but in other institutions there's still more work to be done. And also from our last discussion, AG, whether the follow-up has been made to those one who are struggling to comply when you ask them when you issue your notices on material irregularities. I know for the fact that in other instances you'll have a person who was responsible has resigned, and it's a new person. That's why it takes a lot of time. But to those who have resigned, what was the action of the accounting authorities to make a follow-up or to hold those who has resigned responsible for their actions. But nevertheless, Chair, I can see that there is a lot of progress, and the report is so precise, it's thorough, it doesn't need much to improve on. I think we accept the report as presented by the Auditor General. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Matuba. And in absence of any other hands, can I give over to the AG? Comments?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Matafa and Honorable Matuba for their comments. The one question posed was about the impact of instability at the level of accounting officers. What we're finding is that executive authorities don't get engaged with the MI process in the way that they should from the beginning. And so, yes, whilst it is the role of the accounting officer to act, the executive authority could get better at monitoring how they are responding to MIs, but also to the audit findings. Our view is that we've got to get executive authorities better acquainted with how they can engage with their supervisory and support responsibilities without interfering with the work of the accounting officer, but to use the report of the AG, and not just the one on MIs, to use the report of the audit committee to drive the type of accountability and monitoring conversations with the accounting officers on a regular basis, so that they can support much swifter action on improving controls. So in fact, I'm glad that this is being raised. It's one of the areas that at the AGSA we are grappling with in terms of how can we induct the incoming executive authorities when the next administration begins its work in a way that does get them much more acquainted with how to engage with our work in a way that's supportive of what accounting officers ought to do. So that's certainly our undertaking, to see how we can contribute to better induction of executive authorities. Because I think that's an area that could strengthen accountability if we get it right. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much, AG. I think one of the critical instances is what you have highlighted in the report, that the non-action, which has been set at 82%, has been pushed to action through your intervention by instilling a sense of responsibility, and that has given rise into what we have defined. Put up about 75 MRs which have been resolved, and 75 appropriate action which has been taken so far, which itself is so significant, because if you wouldn't have had this instrument, it means accounts which are not necessarily accounted for, which, as you say, might have given rise to a substantial loss. And therefore, this instrument assists to drive the Office of the Auditor General to instill that culture and as well to prevent in a substantial way the loss which have been realized, if ever you haven't been there to instill this kind of action. The second area which you must appreciate, colleagues, is that as well as the Office of the Auditor General begins to deepen its own effectiveness on these matters. It has shown how those who are supposed to account ought to ensure that there's a balance which is kept between matters of financial accountability and what we have seen, the development of the performance system, which has to show relevance by accounting for those outcomes after the audit. Which, and through this model, becomes a critical measure which guarantees that kind of action. So in our appreciation, we really need to do these things in a way in handling these matters. So our view is that we need to continue to deal with these things, and the office to continue to affirm these actions to just that culture, accountability culture, to find its way into the DNA of the accounting officers and the totality of administration in the public sector. So AG, from our side, I think we need to appreciate this because this is one of those efforts which seeks to work hand in hand with a professionalized public service, and which seek to create a sense of a dipstick to measure the effectiveness of a operational ethos, which is going to give rise to the high standard of service, and at the same time keep the accounting standards for financial application of what has been given to these institutions as part of our fiscus. And your role is therefore that role which needs to be highly appreciated and protected. In absence of any other contribution, I would love to say from your side, thank you very much, AG. But colleagues, we have one matter to finalize, which is a bulk finalization of items which came before us at some stage. So there's no need of indulgence in a sense, which is going to differ, because I've seen the package of minutes and the reports. It's only to appreciate that they're coming to us for the second time, and having looked into them, we take note of those areas of changes in terms of qualitative application. And I'm sure you would just propose that therefore they fulfill the measure of quality check on our side, and therefore we could easily pass them through. Thank you very much, AG, and thanks to the team, thanks to the members, and all the best with your team going forward. We still have a few meetings, two or three meetings, that we must have before we close this session. But so far, so good. We highly appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you, honorable members. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Colleagues.
Thank you. Bye.
Before close, the colleagues, can we not have this application? You have seen what we have in terms of that report. Is there anyone who has a problem with the entirety of those minutes and reports as they've coming back for the second time? Honorable Matafa.
Chairperson.
Honorable
Chairperson, I have written to you in the sidelines.
I've seen your photo.
You've seen it.
But
look, man, I had time to go through the minutes. Just one little thing on the attendance.
Okay.
It's generic. It's generic. One, you would have some piece of minutes where Honorable Midiolwa does not exist literally. Either be it present, apology, or absent, if that could be checked. And the two, you would have minutes with Nchayisa, who has since passed on, some Wabamos Nchayisa, but 3 minutes is got 2024, usa appearation. I think that is that, but the content and trust is as you are saying. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mlenzani. Thanks for what you have identified, and maybe that you still remain part of the meeting. Is there any other thing, colleagues? Honorable Matuba?
Thank you very much, Chair. I think one was able to go through the minutes, and I wouldn't know who was Honorable Miola, and I fully support that we make those amendments and adopt the report and adopt the two sets of minutes. Now I've seen two sets of minutes. I've seen the progress made, the revisions, and so on and so on. And ultimately, in the meetings where I was part of. I was part of the meeting, I would definitely move for the adoption with slight amendments which were raised. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thanks, colleagues. Thanks to the administration, Mvaba, Mr. Nkaji, Honorable Mpusha.
Thanks, Chair. Good things, Chairperson. It's just yes, an apology. Yes. It's just an apology, Chair. Yes, Chair. I joined the meeting. I have a pain, Chair.
Oh, sorry.
I have a pain on my left hand side. But I woke up this morning. There are people who are like breaking into my house. They tampered with the gate today. So
oh,
I woke up to that. That's that, Chair. I am not 100% in the meeting.
Sorry, sister. Sorry. May recover well. But thanks for getting in and let us know. We'll talk on the line. Thank you so much. Colleagues, if then that is the case, thanks, Vaba. Thanks, Mr. Mklaji, and the contribution that you have made in terms of corrections there and the meeting the standard journey. Thank you very much, colleagues. Bye.
Chair. Before your bye-bye, okay, I will call you.
Thank you so much, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you. I'll call you on the sidelines.
Recording stopped.